in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Kenyan athlete Ronex Kipruto, whose 10-kilometer road race world record of 26 minutes and 24 seconds has been officially ratified by World Athletics. The 20-year-old Kipruto is also the reigning world under-20 champion at 10,000 meters. The young Kenyan athlete says, and I quote, "It's great news that the world record is now official. I am still working hard, and I know once the global pandemic is past us, good things are in store for me." Kipruto also would love to get on the Olympic medals podium in Tokyo next year. He goes on to say, "I am still training individually to keep fit while still eyeing the Olympic Games, which have been rescheduled to 2021. I have the burning desire to bring good results, God willing." Kipruto's 10-kilometer road race world record was set January 12, 2020 in Valencia, Spain. He broke the previous world record set by the Ugandan Joshua Cheptegei by 14 seconds. Cheptegei also set his mark in Valencia, and he joins us now with this important coronavirus pandemic message.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a Devil Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries, because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
Samson Omale has news about a top Nigerian table tennis player and a top Nigerian boxer.
Nigeria's reigning IBF European welterweight champion, Rari Ekundayo, says he's determined to host his title defense in Nigeria. Ekundayo, also known as The Natural, said despite being unable to bring his international bout to Nigeria last year, he remains undaunted in his desire to deliver one to the country soon. He said his main reason for wanting to stage the fight in Nigeria is to make boxing more popular and also inspire young boxers. In table tennis news, Africa's number two table tennis player, Ofeung Edem, is not so worried that the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games has to be postponed. The Nigerian table tennis star, who was the first table tennis player to secure a place at Tokyo 2020, says the delay is a blessing in disguise.
2021 is going to be a great year, and for me too, I think it's a blessing, you know, because it's an extra year for me to practice and to be prepared very well, because I want to make history this time. It's all about the best. If you could qualify to Olympic, it means you're good.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hello, everyone. I am Principal Jichimera Shadil Musa, Uganda Bombers captain. I'm going to be representing Uganda, my country, in the forthcoming Olympics, Japan, Tokyo. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all, and it's happening right here.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, our African Beat host. Douglas Mpuga has more African sports news for us. And Douglas says he'll be kicking off in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
DRC is the latest African country to cancel its football season before completion. The executive committee of the DR Congo Football Association decided to end its competitions. Giant TP Mazembe were named champions. When the season was halted, Mazembe led with 53 points, 5 ahead of arch rivals AS Vita. The two will represent DR Congo in the CAF Championship Champions League 2020-2021 season. Meanwhile, AS Maniema Union and DC Motema Pembe, who were third and fourth respectively in the standings, will represent the country in the Total CAF Confederation Cup. In neighboring Cameroon, PWD Bamendam have been named champions of the Elite One League and will represent Cameroon in the CAF Champions League next year. The decision by the executive committee comes 2 months after all football activities were initially stopped due to COVID-19. PWD, based in the northwestern Cameroon region, will make history by playing in a CAF competition for the first time ever. With 47 points after 28 games, PWD were top of the standings, a point above second-placed Cotton Sport, while Colombe were third in the standings with 45 points. There will be no relegation, and the league will be expanded to accommodate 20 teams instead of 18. Meanwhile, CAF has resolved to accelerate the payment of the final tranche of financial rewards to participating clubs in CAF inter-club competitions for the 2019-2020 season. The distribution, which has since started, is to reduce the financial burden on the 32 clubs that reach the group stages of the CAF Champions League and CAF Confederation Cup. Clubs will receive their dues based on the established prize monies for each competition till the quarterfinal stage, when the two competitions were suspended indefinitely due to COVID-19. The minimum guaranteed for clubs participating in the CAF Champions League is $500,000. And $275,000 for the CAF Confederation Cup. In athletics, the anniversary games in London have been cancelled because of coronavirus pandemic, according to UK Athletics. London Stadium had been scheduled to host the event, also part of the Diamond League season, on July 4th to 5th. Meanwhile, the Diamond League season will now run between August and October. The shortened calendar means the point system has also been revised. Athletes will not earn points this season, and there will not be a single 24-discipline final in Zurich as originally planned. Along with the London event, Rabat and Zurich have also been cancelled. In professional golf, the PGA Tour has outlined its plans for return to action. However, leading professional golfers based outside the United States must quarantine in America before resuming the PGA Tour season next month. There has been no play at the circuit since the abandonment of the Players' Championships on March 12th. Around 25 players eligible to play the Charles Schwab Colonial event in Texas, which will be held on June 11th to 14th, are currently living outside the United States. The PGA Tour is increasingly confident its season will resume behind closed doors at the Colonial event in Fort Worth, Texas, on June 11th.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Impuga. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Voice of America's sole bureau chief, Bill Gallo, has been talking with Dan Friedel about South Korean baseball and other sports. Bill and Dan wrap up their conversation on Tuesday's show. Here's Dan.
So, Bill, how about some of the international sports that have been suspended since early to mid-March? Soccer in Europe, this is the time of year that we'd be counting down to the Champions League final. The National Basketball Association in the United States has become such an international sport, with people staying up all hours of the night to watch the exploits of players like LeBron James and Steph Curry. Is there a hole for people who are sports fans? Can you tell that people are a little bit sad to not be able to watch these superstars on their TVs as they have for the past 20, 30, 40 years?
Definitely. Even walking around Seoul, if you're on a bus or on a metro, or like you say, in a taxi, it was pretty routine to see people streaming NBA games. There's a lot of interest in the National Basketball Association here in Korea. And it's funny because, you still will see people streaming games. I don't know what they're watching, but you'll be on the bus and you'll see some NBA game going on. I guess it's just some vintage game or some classic playoff game or something that people are watching. There is a big hole here, and I know that Korean baseball organizations are trying to take advantage of that, since they are one of the very few sporting leagues that are going on right now. And all I can say is, among at least English language baseball Twitter in North America, it seems like there is an increased interest in the Korean baseball league at this point. I noticed that a lot of people have chosen teams, and it's sort of a fun thing. People don't usually get to choose their team, right? Usually that's something they're usually born with. But I think it's a lot of fun for people to actually be able to choose Korean baseball teams at this point, which one they will support.
So, Bill, speaking of baseball teams, I know that you're a Kansas City Royals fan. You got to celebrate the Royals winning the Major League Baseball championship not too long ago, the World Series. What is it going to be like for you if you do see the Kansas City Royals playing a baseball game that counts? The latest news here in the U.S. is that there is a proposal that there could be resumption of games that matter in a shortened season sometime in July. What would it mean to you to see the Royals on the field this year?
I can't wait. It was actually a big part of my life, I think. I think people are realizing how big of a role the sports played in their lives. Maybe some people realized it, but I think the fact that it's not there, the fact that it's missing, sort of, you do, as you mentioned, sort of have this whole... the timing is a little bit weird because in Korea it's difficult to watch U.S. baseball games. But I had a pretty solid routine of getting up on Saturday and Sunday mornings and having my breakfast baseball, watching the Royals. So if we can get back to that as soon as possible, I would be thrilled. However, I do understand that many of the players and others are concerned about, the dangers of restarting that type of activity whenever things still may not be under, quite under control yet in the U.S.
We're joined by Bill Gallo, Voice of America's correspondent in Seoul, South Korea, here on the Sunny Side of Sports. Bill, what advice would you give to if you were able to talk with Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball here in the U.S., to try to give him some advice for deciding whether it would be safe to restart baseball in this era of the coronavirus? What are two things that you might suggest to him?
I would say that even if it looks like things are coming under control in the United States, even if we get to the point where it seems that the coronavirus is being contained, that it only takes really one person to have things explode out of control again. And I would think that someone like the Major League Baseball commissioner would be very mindful of that if he were to restart baseball. I mean, in South Korea, we were at one point, we had the biggest coronavirus infection in the world, and that was contained within a month. Well, just last week, actually, there was another person that went clubbing and partying in an area here of Seoul. He partied for a night, and he came in contact with about 5,000 other people. And it seems that South Korea may be headed towards something of a second wave. And really, it just took one person sort of in the wrong circumstance. So if things seem okay, that really is right now, I think, maybe not good enough justification to really open things up and create more of a risk. As negative, I hate to end on a negative note, but it really just takes one person in a setting like this to get things back into sort of a negative situation.
Well, thanks, Bill. It's Bill Gallo, VOA's correspondent in Seoul, South Korea. Thanks for joining us on the Sunny Side of Sports, Bill.
Thanks. Yeah, it was fun.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
If you tuned in to Monday's show, You heard Gloria So report on a pair of Michael Jordan's basketball sneakers fetching $560,000 in an online auction. In Southern California this week, some of basketball great Kobe Bryant's memorabilia is also going up for auction. Once again, here's Reuters reporter Gloria So.
Basketball legend Kobe Bryant's memorabilia is going up for auction this week in Beverly Hills, California. Bryant was the first athlete to leave his handprints on Hollywood Boulevard alongside some of the movie industry's biggest stars. And now, a copy of those handprints is going on sale at Julian's Auctions on Thursday. Director Martin Nolan says Bryant's autographed L.A. Lakers jerseys and sneakers worn in key NBA games will also be up for grabs.
He started off with jersey number 8 and then went on to use number 24. And so these items are highly sought after. So the 99-2000 NBA Finals uniform that Kobe wore and actually signed as well. You can also see the black armband in memory of Wilt Chamberlain for that particular season. That's estimated 10 to 20,000, which is, again, a conservative auction estimate.
Bryant died in a tragic helicopter crash on January 26th, just outside Los Angeles, along with his 13-year-old daughter Gianna and 7 other people. Demand for Bryant's apparel surged soon after his death. Nolan says the global health crisis and the uncertainty it's caused have led people to reconsider purchases they might not have made before.
You know, before they might dismiss the idea of spending a significant amount of money on something like a collectible, now they're thinking, we have one life to live, and why not own something from somebody as legendary as Kobe Bryant?
The auction house says Bryant's items were being offered by a Kentucky collector and that the sale, part of its annual Sports Legends auction, was already being prepared before Bryant's untimely death.
Thanks, Gloria. That's Reuters reporter Gloria So. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Turning to tennis, the coronavirus pandemic has halted tournaments around the world. A former German star says the 2020 season now rests on the fate of the upcoming U.S. and French Open competitions. VOA's Gwen Uten has more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. New York City is the epicenter of the coronavirus pandemic in the United States, but U.S. Open officials still hope to stage the tournament in late August. And earlier this year, the French Tennis Federation made the controversial decision to postpone the French Open until September. German tennis player and former world number one Boris Becker has been watching the upended calendar closely, and he recently told Reuters TV it's crucial to the sport that the two remaining Grand Slams take place before the end of the year.
I think a lot depends on the decision regarding the US Open, hence the French Open. I think if that is positive, then we'll have a tournament or two before the Open in America. I know there won't be any tennis tournament in Canada. I mean, the president, the prime minister Trudeau already said there won't be any you know, sports game for the rest of the year, which I think is a wrong decision. I think it's too early to say that. With some of the other decisions government have done in March about the rest of the year, I think, you know, this situation was so new to everybody. I think it would be wiser for all respective parties just to wait and check it out a little bit and see, you know, what type of virus, how long does it affect, you know, what is the, when it's the curves coming down, but, you know, politician to politician. And I think it was good for the open to say, listen, let's wait and see, and not make a rush decision. But if it's positive, and I think that we're going to have tennis the rest of the year, if we don't have the open, the French Open, I don't think we have tennis the rest of the year.
Becker is not alone in his grim prediction. World number two Rafael Nadal expressed his own doubts that tennis will resume this year. He is instead training for the January start of the Australian Open in 2021. World number three Dominic Thiem also sees tennis resuming in Australia next year. And while the tennis schedule remains uncertain, Boris Becker does not see the prolonged hiatus as a bad thing for most players, and named Rafael Nadal among those who could benefit from the break.
If the year is lost, then I don't think it's bad for Federer or it's bad for Serena, because they, you know, they haven't really abused their bodies for another year. So in a way, they've gained the year. I think it's good for players like Andy Murray. Gives him more time to come back and get physically ready. Then for 2021. I don't think the young players benefit, actually, because they lose a year gaining experience in matches. I think if any group, I think they're the affected the most, because they've never taken that much time off. I think it benefits more Djokovic, Nadal, Federer, because they know how good they are, they know what to do, and I don't think we're going to see a change of form from them. But I think the younger players will take more time to come back. This is my feeling.
Becker sees the absence of competition as a unique opportunity to restructure the sport. Fourth seed Roger Federer has recently suggested merging the ATP and WTA into one organization, which would balance the tennis schedule and bring the men's and women's game closer together. And Boris Becker is in full support of that idea.
In my perfect world, I'd like to see much more combined men, for example, you know, men and women over 10 days, I think would be the ideal scenario moving forward. In my take, we have too many tennis tournaments week in, week out. You know, sometimes we have two or three in the same week in different countries, which I don't think is right. And obviously those smaller tournaments will have a hard time to survive, you know, this current crisis. And who knows where they're going to be put back next year. So I would really hope that, you know, the governing bodies, the big tournaments, the Master Series on both sides, that they really come together and find a formula that's good for the game.
At 17, Becker made a name for himself as the youngest male major tennis champion in history, and he went on to win five more Grand Slam singles titles. After retiring in 1999, Becker found more success in the game of poker, and he says the card game helps feed his competitive spirit while sitting down.
Good competition, you know, it's a very competitive game. Poker is a game of skills. It's not a question of luck. Yes, if you do hit the ace on the river, okay, occasionally that's luck. But I'd say most of the game is won by the better player, if you see the long run. I like the fact that I don't have to run around playing poker, and I can sit down, just enjoy my evening. I'm more of a live player. I like to, you know, face the other guy. I like to talk to the other players on the table. But I've gotten, you know, this world right now, everything's online anyway. So I've gotten used to the online poker games. In fact, I opened the charity game on Sunday night at the World Series of Poker, and I did get into the money. You know, apart from 1,500 players. Finished 130, 140. I thought that was good, and it keeps my mind clear. You know, it keeps my mind focused, and it's a lovely game.
As for the lovely game of tennis, earlier this month, Tennis Australia chief Craig Tiley said next year's Australian Open is still at risk of cancellation and would be devoid of international fans if the tournament goes on. And that is all from me, Sonny. I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the May 19th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.